Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, and welcome to the latest episode of Biblioscapes in Discussion. Today I've got the great pleasure of being joined by Glasgow-based photographer Simon Murphy. Good evening, Simon.
Good evening. How are you?
Not bad. Thank you very much for your time to join me this evening. Delighted to have you to talk about your recent book, Govan Hill, an area which I know well, living only a couple of miles from it. But before we get to talking about your book, Simon, it'd be great if you could give us an introduction to your photographic background and journey.
Okay. So photography for me, I felt it came quite late in my life, but it didn't really. You know, it felt like that at the time, around about the age of 20. But I remember my first kind of, well, cameras wise, I do remember Super Snaps had these, used to get free cameras when you developed a film.
Yes.
And it was a little plastic thing with a kind of viewfinder that popped up. So that's my kind of first memories of photography, but it never really struck a chord, really. And then I had lots of different jobs. I had no, at school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Yep. I had lots of different jobs and I became a postman. And that was actually my in to photography.
Yep.
Because I delivered, among letters, sometimes occasional postcards. And it was photographs and postcards, whether it was maybe a kind of scene from some country that I'd never been to, or pictures of musicians. Sometimes there was someone on my run who used to get postcards sent to them of different musicians.
Oh, cool.
And I remember just seeing these photographs, and in the post you get an awful lot of time to think. It's a good job that way, you know, just wandering, walking, getting into this kind of meditation zone almost. And I just, it kind of dawned on me, there was a bit of a light bulb moment, you know. I looked at these photographs of bands and I thought, oh, how great would it have been to have been there with them?
Yeah.
And kind of dawned on me that someone else was there, a person you never see. And that's the photographer. But that person experienced all of those great moments, sometimes created those moments. But the next day may have been creating another amazing moment. And I just started thinking about this and I kind of made a bold decision, because the post, it was a decent job at the time. I was home early. Lots of people in the post had other interests, you know, hobbies and things like that. And I thought, no, I'm going to try this thing called photography and see if I can, I can do it. There's another thing, actually. There's someone in the office called Willie Brune. And Willie Brune, I remember one day, the manager got us into this room and they presented Willie Brune with a tie, and it was, this tie was for 15 years service. And at that time, 15 years seemed like a lifetime to me, and I'm thinking, oh man, 15 years for a tie. And I just thought, I wonder if I could do something else with my life, and then maybe go back and get that tie. So that was the kind of moment I decided to leave and go to college and try this thing called photography.
Yeah. And from there, I suppose now you're teaching photography as well. That's kind of the next step in your kind of photographic journey.
Yeah. So I teach in the same college that I learned, which is lovely. Kind of full circle.
Yeah, lovely.
At first, when I first tried to find out about photography courses, I went to what was called Building and Printing in Glasgow. So, and that was the main photography college. But I knew nothing about college, and I didn't know that I needed a portfolio. That might sound quite obvious, but I didn't know that. So I never got in.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of other colleges. There was one in Paisley and one in Springburn that was called North Glasgow at the time that I went to. And I met Christine Stevenson, who was a lecturer there, and offered me a place. And that changed my life. And I'm so glad I went there, because it was a much smaller college, a lot more time with lecturers, and the work in the walls did a huge amount to inspire me.
Cool. Yeah. Lovely. And obviously you've, you, during, I think many of your student years, you kind of lived in the Govan Hill area of Glasgow, which is just, for anyone who doesn't know Glasgow, Govan Hill, south side, probably about a 20-minute walk into the city centre. And that's where it kind of all kicked off for you in terms of your recent body of work.
Yeah. Well, so my connection with Govan Hill goes back a lot further than that moment. So one of my grandparents, my granny Jean, lived in Govan Hill. So as a kid, I was always going down there to visit the family and weekends and things like that. So I was always aware of this place, and it was always an exciting place. It was very different to where I happened to be living at the time, which was a number of places in the south side of Glasgow. I moved around a lot, but it was a very exciting place, and it stuck with me. And then when I went to college, I had at that particular year I'd happened to move into a flat in Govan Hill, so I spent those years, those formative years, sort of college years in Govan Hill. And whenever I was given tasks for college, maybe it was an environmental portrait that I had to photograph or some reportage, it made sense for me just to photograph it where I lived. So the project, in a sense, started a way back, kind of 1999, 2000, that kind of time period. But it didn't really become a project as such until I think it was about 2017 when I revisited it, you know, after a career in photography. And that was interesting because I think sometimes the projects, they're kind of always with you. You just don't know, you know, and projects often take a long time to build. There's one thing, you know, when people put out in their Instagram posts, I see it all the time, new project, and they've got one photograph, and it's this big announcement of a project starting, and it always tends to fizzle out, you know. And for me, I think your project should maybe, the announcement of a project should maybe be many years down the line when you've got something to show or something that you that feels like a project.
I would agree. Once you've got to the position that actually, as you say, you've got the body of work there that represents something, represents your investment in time. And as you say, I suppose it'd be how did you kind of approach the project as such when it kind of came full circle in 2017, and how were you feeling and when you started revisiting, I suppose, the neighborhood compared to your like 15 years ago, 15, 20 years previously?
Well, so I hadn't moved from the area, so it wasn't like, and so when you don't move from somewhere, you don't. It's not like you're coming back and seeing differences. So I had lived in the area that whole time, but what had changed was my circumstances. So when I was at college, I was building this portfolio, and my goal was to be an editorial photographer. I wanted to shoot for magazines. I wanted to photograph musicians and actors. And so that was my focus. And I remember, I mean, this is crazy, but I remember moving from one house in Govan Hill to another and throwing out all my negatives that I'd shot there. I just
Jesus.
binned them. And because my mindset was, well, all of those photographs up to that point, it was just college work. And it was, the purpose was to get me this job, which at that time I had got the job that I wanted. I worked for the Herald magazine. So I made this decision. Stupid decision because it's the archive, and there probably was a couple of interesting shots on there of Govan Hill from that time period. Because I remember shooting, there was riots, at the local pool had been closed down, and there was kind of protest. There's a big protest that was over 20 years ago, and I was there photographing, and so all of those photographs would have had some value now, but I just didn't see it at the time. I just thought it was college work, and I just threw it out.
It just shows you how, hindsight's a wonderful thing. But as you say, you're at the time you're working with a goal in mind, and once you've achieved that goal, you kind of move on. But obviously the impact is, I suppose, as well of your job and the editorial work that you were shooting must have had a massive influence when you began the project or for real, I suppose, in 2017 and such.
Well, I think that's the thing, you know. So when I went into photography, I wanted to photograph actors, you know, and musicians. And the Herald magazine gave me that opportunity, and it was amazing. But another opportunity that it gave me was something that I hadn't really experienced properly before, and that was travel. So I had been a couple of places when I was younger. I had gone in a bus to a place called Estarte in Spain, I think it was. I know it was a long bus journey. It was about 3 days to get there. And I'd been to, where else had I been? I think I'd been to Corfu, but I hadn't really been that many places. And even Scotland, I hadn't really been outside Glasgow, really. And so all of a sudden, with this job in the Herald, I was seeing Scotland. And I remember getting my first assignment to go to Africa. It was in 2008. It was the G8 summit, and there was this job in Tanzania, and I got asked to go, and I was just like, man, this thing, photography, is going to take me somewhere that I've never been,
Yeah.
and this is exciting. And I think having those opportunities really shaped me, because when I was out in countries like Africa and Colombia, and I say country like Africa, sorry, continent, you know, but countries like the Congo, where else, Uganda,
Fantastic.
Rwanda, all
Yeah.
these places, you know,
Brilliant.
and you're hearing stories of ordinary people, but in really difficult circumstances, or stories of strength in difficult circumstances. It kind of changed my point of view, as to what was more important to photograph. And I found
Yes.
that the everyday person,
Yeah.
sometimes their stories were much more interesting and more powerful than those that are held aloft.
Yeah. I can totally imagine, and yeah, I think as you say, yeah, it's a lovely connection to have with the everyday person. And I suppose coming to your book, I think it's absolutely fantastic. I've spent a lot of time. I really enjoyed the exhibition as well, to see the works up, beautifully printed. It's the variety of characters that I really like, and it really feels very Glaswegian. A lot of the street shots as well very much reminded me of like Oscar Mazzaroli with some of his Gorbals photographs going back obviously 40, 50 years and stuff like that. How did you find, I suppose, connecting with individuals that you were photographing?
Well, I think, you know, the practice that I had, working for newspapers, that, I mean, I was a very shy child, very, very shy child. My school report said I had a small group of friends. Small group meant one, you know. You know, so, and I don't know. Photography gave me a reason to travel, and it gave me a reason to speak to people. You
Yeah.
know, it was this passport, it was this opportunity, it was a reason for approaching people and doing things. So that really changed me. And I suppose the years working in the newspapers, sometimes having to convince sometimes difficult subjects to pose for you, it really helped. So my mindset, like I'd said before, my mindset had changed in the sense of what was important to me. And I had left the newspapers, and I had started teaching. And I love teaching, but there was this hunger to be creative as
Yeah.
well. I missed the jobs that I did. So I needed a project that was really nearby that meant something to me. And it kind of dawned on me that this place where I had been making pictures for a long time, everything that it had, it was almost like the world on my doorstep. Everything that I experienced in these other countries that I'd traveled
Yeah.
to was actually there. In this place that's so multicultural, so
Yeah.
diverse, but tiny, you know, a mile squared, 88 languages spoken, so they say. I mean, who knows? I can't list 88 languages. But that was amazing. So this kind of realization that actually maybe I don't need to travel and convince people to send me to these countries to actually produce work that I'm proud of and work that matters. And
Yeah.
that's the kind of decision, or that was the, again, another light bulb moment that, no, this place, Govan Hill, this is my project.
Yeah. And when you set out, what were you looking to achieve from the project? Was it to create a body of work? Was it to do something bigger, different, better?
Yeah, I had no set goals.
Yeah.
I just knew that I think the first thing I wanted to satisfy this creative hunger.
Yeah.
So that was, how do I do that? You know, creative people, I think we're all creative people, but I think that you've kind of got to work to satisfy that desire. And
Yes.
so that, I think that was the number one. It was a personal thing. It's for me, because I
Yeah.
needed to, that part of my life was maybe not being fulfilled as much as it had been
Yes, in
at
the
that
past.
particular time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the motive. But then I never start projects with a set goal, because then you start to see things with a kind of a f very filtered or narrow eye.
Yeah, a different perspective.
Yeah. So it really takes me back, actually, my process. It takes me back to the post office in when I was out wandering the streets, that's when ideas would come into my head. And it's that process of wandering that I kind of took into the Project Govan Hill, where I would just wander and wander. I gave myself set days, you know, so I had half a day on a Wednesday where I had a bit of discretionary time from my work. So every Wednesday I'd go out and I'd do the same thing. I'd wander, but I'd vary the wander, you know, so I'd get to the end of a street and I think, okay, am I going right? Am I going left? And I'd see where my heart took
Where it
me.
takes you,
Yeah. And I'm always, more than anything, you know, we photograph three things really: people, places, and things, still lives. But, and out of that, the thing that moves me more than anything is people. It always has been. So naturally, as I'm wandering, it's people that I'm noticing. And when I notice someone, then it's something's happening inside that says, well, what is this? You know, and then I have to act on that very quickly, because if you don't act quickly, then the person's gone.
And the opportunity's
So
passed.
yeah, and that's what it became. So it kind of started with a project of people that in some ways I felt represented. Maybe not, maybe I wasn't intending to represent the, no, I was, right? This is right. It's hard to describe this
I know,
because,
I can totally understand.
yeah, I've done a few jobs in the past, right, that are sort of PR jobs for colleges and at companies, right? And it's, there's something I can't stand, and it's this kind of tokenism where you get people from different ethnic backgrounds, put them all in the same photograph, smiling at a computer screen, you know, and it's, I really despise that, because it's just trying too hard and it fails miserably. And so there was, when I started this project, the people that I was getting more photographs of were older men standing outside pubs smoking, right? Because they're the easiest people to speak to. They're not
Walking
going
past.
anywhere. Yeah. So that was easy. But then when I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, well, is this a true representation of Govan Hill? Just no, it's part of it, but it's not all of it. And so then there came a moment where I felt, well, I need to get some women in this, and I need to get some different nationalities in this, maybe shopkeepers. But I really pushed hard against this idea of doing it for the sake of doing it, because it wouldn't be authentic that way. So the only way to do it properly in that sense is to allow the time. And so that project really, that part of the project really took about 7 years before it felt like I could say it represents a community. But even then, it's only my representation, it's my vision, it's my view. Other people will see it differently. I had to critique it at the exhibition, actually. One woman said to me, she came up to me and she said, you know, I really love your exhibition, you know, but I work in Govan Hill and I really don't see any South Asian representation here, and I think you should have done that. And right, so first of all, I'm thinking, right, where is South Asia? You know, what countries are actually in South Asia? Because for me, right, it'd be Pakistan. And but I'm thinking, I didn't really know how to respond to her, because also there's so many people from Pakistan and Bangladesh and all of these places that are in my project. They were up on the wall, so I didn't understand where she was coming from. But I suppose people see what they want to see.
That's it. Everyone has their own interpretation, and I suppose from somewhat your journeys around the streets of Govan Hill will show up someone else's who's maybe just going up and down the same couple of streets every day, and they see the same people. Whereas you, as you say, you're presenting your representation, your record, and your journeys around the area. It's quite fascinating though, just to see how different people react
Yeah.
to your work.
Well, that's the thing, you know, and when you do a pro, the minute you bring a project out, you've got to be prepared for criticism.
Absolutely.
And people do, they kind of, they're quick to jump on it and say, well, you should have included, you should have done. But see, the 7 years that you're doing the project, these people are nowhere to be seen offering that help. And there's many times where, you know, I approach different organizations and I put some shops. Now, lots were really, I used to do window exhibitions in the streets leading up to the big exhibition. And so many, I'm in good terms with so many shopkeepers and people down there, but some shops were really standoffish. The ones that you think would be much more open, the ones who kind of claim that they're very diverse, and it's amazing how standoffish and unwelcoming they were. And of course, the exhibition happens, and it's those ones that say, "Oh, you should have," and it's
Yeah, I
funny.
know. Yeah.
But any project, as a creator, you just have to be very sure of, first of all, what you're doing and why you're doing it. You have got to ask difficult questions of yourself.
Yeah.
That's part of the process. But ultimately, your job is to create. And whether people think it's good, whether people think it's not very good, it doesn't really matter. You put it out there, that's it, and then you create more.
Yeah. And as you say, you've got to be proud and confident in your conviction of what it is. You anyone creative has set their goal, their target, whatever it is of producing this work. And as long as you can stand up and be comfortable and happy with what you've done, then yeah, you'll always get people who say, "Oh, I don't like that image, I don't like this image," or whatever it is. And the ones that are your favorites are the ones that people don't like, and then the ones that you think, yeah, they're okay. It's human nature. But I love the variety of the individuals, the characters that you've photographed, but also the street scenes as well, which, yeah, as I say, they kind of remind me of like some of the older times in Glasgow that you see photographed beautifully. And it's a lovely connection to see like the modern day story of Glasgow compared to like some of maybe the more historical documentations that there've been of other areas of Glasgow.
Just on that point, there's a book by Raymond Depardon, the book Glasgow, I think photographed in 1980. And that book to me was, when I saw that quite recently, it was an amazing book because there was something really alien about it, because it seemed like a time just so long ago, but at the same time it was very familiar because I was 4 years old, and I remember these streets being pushed around in the pram, and to see those streets photographed the way he photographed it brought back so many memories. So I'm very much a portrait photographer, but I felt when putting the project together for any kind of historical context, I think it was important just to have a couple of street scenes in there just to kind of paint a picture of the place, because that's the idea. That's what I've always called it, a portrait of the place. So these individuals that are photographed, it's not so much about them, but it's about the collective group of people making up this really interesting, and exciting and diverse place in Glasgow.
And how have you found the feedback from some of the subjects who have featured in the book? Was that a positive response from them? Did they enjoy the interaction with you in terms of being part of this fantastic project?
Yeah, I mean, it's been brilliant. It's even before the book, there was sort of leading up to it. I'd entered lots of different competitions, and I'd had some of the pictures published. So I had won a couple of different awards, and one of the early photographs that was it was published, I think it was Portrait of Humanity or Portrait of Britain, which is the British Journal of Photography's competition, and it was a bit of a gimmick, but this particular year, they were going to have an exhibition in space. Okay, I know. So my work was in selected for the book that year. So my work was going to be displayed in space. So one of the people in the photographs, a guy called Scott, who works or runs with his wife Carrie, the tattoo shop Jagged Edge in Victoria Road. His portrait went up to space. And now, so space is, I think technically space is only like 60 miles up the way. And so it's this high altitude balloon that takes up a kind of, probably one of these little digital photo frames. It's probably tiny, but it's filmed. So you see the curvature of the Earth. For all the flat earthers there, you actually see this, you see the curvature. And it's quite amazing. And just for Scott to be able to say to his friends, I've been exhibited in space, that's a special thing. So there's lots of experiences like that where people either seeing their work or bringing people to see the portrait where it kind of, in fact, there's a couple that were really touching, and that's people that had photographed that are no longer here, you know, that have died, and how proud their families were to see the work exhibited. It was very powerful, and that answered everything to me. Any critique just paled into insignificance when I saw the reactions, and it just taught me or reinforced how powerful photography is, the power of the photograph, as a document, as memory, as history. I just thought you have to keep doing this.
Absolutely. And obviously, you spent a lot of time photographing. At what point did you kind of think the project was becoming something, maybe, or there was the output of the book or exhibitions or whatever, that you kind of take it from being a personal project to kind of get your creative mind going to something that bit bigger and greater?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question, because there's lots of steps to that, and I think historically one of my big problems were that I started projects and none of them ever felt finished. I didn't know how to finish a project, and I always kind of felt that there must be a better picture out there that will complete it. So I had all these projects in the go, and I thought, this is no good, because at some point I'm going to die and I'll have no projects that's come out. So I thought to myself, I need to think of this differently. So I thought about it. I think a lot. I walk a lot, and I just ideas pop into my head. And I thought, like, you know, when you're reading a book, it's divided into chapters. And generally, you know, you read a chapter and you might leave it and then you move on to the next one. And I thought, I wonder if I could approach my photography like that, where I just bring out a chapter of a project at a time. So for me, the very first chapter of Govan Hill was actually quite early on in the project, and it was only 10 portraits. And I exhibited them in the Govan Hill baths in the community, invited people around. And it wasn't a complete project, but it was a chapter. And what was great about that was it generated interest. So I was able to say to people, I remember one of my most important pictures from the exhibition that's in the books, a girl called Paisley, and she's got a sort of camouflage jacket on, a little badge saying "People Make Glasgow." But when that exhibition was on in the baths, I had taken my daughter around to McDonald's, and I saw this in Pollokshaws Road, and I saw this girl Paisley with her son, and she looked amazing. And I'd had my exhibition, I just came from it, and I approached her. I said, "I'd love to photograph you." And it was really easy for me to say, "Yeah, I've got an exhibition on around the corner. You should go and, if you go and see it, you'll see the style of photography." So what I found was that breaking it up into chapters gave the project momentum. And so in many ways, the project's still not finished, but the book and the exhibition was a kind of major milestone. And it feels like I can put it to the side just now and maybe revisit, maybe a couple of years down the line.
And I think it's always nice, as you say. It's like, I think a lot of people have problems finishing projects because, as you say, you think, yeah, I really like these shots, but actually, there's maybe something in 6 months' time that will just better this. But actually, drawing a line under it, projects never end. There's always the opportunity to go back and revisit. You could go back in 15 years' time and just see how the community is addressed or changed and varied, and bring out a small portfolio of images or something like that. And when it came to kind of working on the exhibition and the book, I'm assuming that you must have photographed so many people. How did you kind of start the process of selecting which portraits and which images you wanted to represent the work?
How do I answer this one? So leading up to the exhibition, I had always wanted an exhibition in Street Level Photoworks. I used to
Brilliant.
go there as a student and see these great exhibitions. I thought, I want my work to be in here. So that was a goal. And it's just finding how does that happen? You know, it's like we're all the same. We're all just chancers, and you've got to find windows, you've got to find opportunities, you've got to find little doors, and once you get the foot in the door, you've got to keep it open. So I was working on the project, and a lot of things happened at the same time. So it felt like I was getting some good portraits. And there was a competition called the Scottish Portrait Awards that I saw was open for entries. So I think it was maybe the last night of it, like everybody enters on the last day. And I entered one of the pictures, and at the same time, Street Level had advertised an open call. And I thought, well, I've prepared the file for this and I've wrote the little caption. I might as well put it in that as well. And so the open call was brilliant because loads of photographers got a chance to get their work submitted. And I got some little postcards of I had hand printed some little postcards of some of the portraits, because that goes back to my postman days. That was my influence. So I like, again, full circle printing and postcards. So I had submitted them and they got selected. So in terms of that, I never selected the images. I put in a selection, but the curation of it was Street Level. But that was me with a foot in the door. And then I was offered, Malcolm, the director, offered me an exhibition in Trungate 103, which is just at the side of it. It's a small space, but I was jumping at the chance. And then, so I just sort of went about thinking, right, what have I got, out of this body of work? And I was preparing it, and then COVID hit, and no exhibitions. In fact, you mentioned Oscar Marzaroli. His exhibition was one of the longest running ones because COVID
Indeed, yeah. It started and then COVID hit, and then
hit.
it continued 12 months later, and it
That's
was
it.
still going.
Yeah, that's it. So that was a disappointment not to have the exhibition, but a brilliant opportunity as well because it gave me momentum. I thought, well, I've got a chance for an exhibition. The foot's well and truly in the door, so I can build on this. And so when the first kind of lockdown, I don't know what you call it, like the restrictions ended, we're allowed out a wee bit more, then I just threw myself into the project even more, and I gathered so many more portraits. So the images that I would have put in to that first exhibition changed, because I got better images. And I suppose that was the kind of, going back to your question, like, how do you choose? For me, it was just the strongest images, what I felt were the strongest images, and what the kind of strongest reaction I had was. That was the basis of it. But also this idea that now I'm representing Govan Hill because it's called Govan Hill. So how do I represent that in a way that celebrates all that I find joyous about the place, because it does get a hard time. So that was in the back of my mind as well, but without tokenism.
I think it's a great representation. It's just a lovely variety of images. Some of the characters, the facial recognitions as well, the facial expressions that you get. It kind of just really brings it to life. And as I said earlier, walking around the exhibition and seeing some of the really beautiful, nice big prints up as well, it's lovely. And you can just imagine the people of Govan Hill who have been part of the project or who know people who've been part of the project. It must have been such a proud moment, as you said, for them to be able to go and see them, their friends, their family, etc., all up on the wall, people walking around and admiring them. And I suppose imagining what their story is, because everyone you photographed has got their own story from on Govan Hill, which I think's so important and so interesting for me. It's like I don't shoot portraits. I don't really have an interest in shooting portraits, but I really really enjoy looking at portraits, and I enjoy looking at people within their landscape, and I find it fascinating because I just think of their own wee story. And you're looking at someone as a captured in a moment in time, and you think, is that what the person normally looks like? It's like, are they going fancy dressed to a party? This is maybe why they've been caught. And it's all those things that just the interest that goes through it. And I think there's such a skill to get the emotions and to show the intimacy that people and connections that a photographer's got, as opposed to just walking around the street randomly and maybe hoping to kind of capture some photographs on the sly, sort of thing.
Yeah, I know that this a photograph in the slide, it doesn't really work for me. I'm not very good at that. My pictures are never very good when I try it. So I mean, I've tried it, but it doesn't work. But yeah, the kind of the facial expression thing. I mean, I walk around with a very well, not a very heavy camera, but a fairly heavy camera. It's a medium format camera, and it's on show, and so people know what I'm doing. So I kind of believe you've got to kind of be proud of who you are and own what you're doing, and then people accept it. You know, but if you're trying to hide the camera, people get a wee bit suspicious of you and wonder about you. So I just wonder. And but the facial expressions, you know, I mean, some people will look at my book and think that's a miserable place because the facial expressions are so straight and there's not many or much laughter in there. But part of that, I mean, with photography, you can never capture someone's personality because personalities are so multifaceted, you know. And so, and this is one of the reasons that I don't put stories up. So, and a lot of the people that I photograph, I've got good relations with, and people are very open when you start talking to them in the street. And I've got crazy stories about lots of different
I
people,
can imagine.
but I feel it's really unfair. I think words can do a lot of damage at times, and if you just put one aspect of someone's story up. And do you know, I think as a society we tend to like the hard luck stories, and so if you just go with that, then you're not really painting a true picture. And so I made a decision that no, this is a, like I mentioned before, it's a portrait of the place. This is Govan Hill's the character, and it's all of these people that are the different facets of this place. And so, and the kind of expression, just going back to the expression, I'm jumping about here, but part of the kind of straight expression is just because I'm photographing, it's fairly low light conditions. I usually photograph in the shade to keep the light consistent. And so I'm shooting at very shallow depth of field, and any movement will mean that the photograph's out of focus. So that's why they're so straight. And that's part of the style, I suppose. That's why they look like they do.
No, it's nice, and I think it's been really nicely sequenced. I think Goma Books have done a wonderful job printing it as well. I know the first edition sold out and before I think it was even printed probably, and then I think there's a second edition follows up shortly as well. So, it's certainly be a phenomenally successful project for you, and rightly so as well. And does it give you motivation for future projects in terms of?
That's a good question. You know, it's one I've not thought about. Do you have to think about motivation? There's another question. Does it give me motivation? I'm really proud that it happened. I'm really happy. I wanted the book to happen. When I found out about the exhibition, it was about, I think it was about between 7 and 9 months until exhibition launch. And so I just thought to myself, do you know, imagine if I could have a book at the same time to coincide, it would feel it's the right time to launch it. So that happened. And so, and lots of people told me that there's no way that will happen. You know, that's not possible. So I was really, really happy that that happened. But for future projects, I don't know if I'd go about it the same way. I've got about five projects in mind. I'll go back to Govan Hill, but I really took about a year out of shooting there because I was working on the exhibition, just scanning the images, and working on the book as well at the same time. So it was a lot of work, a lot of sitting down at computers, and I only get a day a week really to do it. So what I've decided for the projects that I'm working on just now are they're much smaller. What I did like actually was part of the exhibition was the 100 Rolls project. And that was a grant that was given where I won 100 rolls of film. And what I really liked about that was it was a really, again, about completing a project. It was a definite number. So number one, starting image had to be good. But when that roll 100 was finished, that was it.
It was
And I liked
finished.
those parameters. So I've started to work more like that, where I give myself, whether it's a time parameter or whether it's a place
A
or something like
constraint, a
that.
constraint of some sort.
That's it.
I'm much the same as well. I quite like putting myself within constraints that don't restrict, but actually kind of give a bit of focus. For me, I find it helps me work, and it you could say, as you say, you can set any form of constraint or restriction, but I think it's quite a good way to work at times.
Orson Welles said that the absence of limitations is the enemy of art. And I think that's true, you know, because that's what creativity is. It's having barriers
Yeah.
and finding a way to get over that barrier or to get around that. And so I'm the same. I just like this idea, okay, here's one subject matter. What can you do with that to
Yeah.
produce a body of work?
Yeah. And how was the experience working with the publisher? Was it good? I'm assuming it was a good experience, but how was your interaction with them? Did you kind of select the images, they sequenced it, or how did that kind of come about?
I was kind of hoping you wouldn't ask me that. I'll have to be diplomatic here.
Yeah.
It was brilliant at the start. I had kind of dreamed up this idea about having a book, and I had won a competition that was called the Gomma Grant,
Yep.
and that was great, and that kind of got me noticed. But I had in my mind, I wanted this book, so I had put out some emails. I'd actually put a little made a little PDF of a book and just kind of sequenced it myself. And I did it one night. I just sat one night and just did it. And then I emailed publishers, and about three or four got back to me, and they were interested, but they were all saying pretty much the same thing. So I don't know anything about publishing, or up to this point, I do know now, but at that point, I didn't. And basically, they said to me, okay, we'd love to do this, but the way to do it is you need to find some funding. And I think the general model now is Kickstarter. So publishers are generally looking for about 12 grand for you to raise through Kickstarter or get a sponsor. So I thought to myself, right, I could do that. I think I could do that because people are invested in my work, you know. Whether it's through Instagram or whether it's friends, whether it's family, there's a really supportive network out there. So I thought, well, do you know what? I could do that. But when I was thinking about that, I got an email from Goma saying, well, what's your intention with the project? And I told them, well, I want a book for the exhibition. They said, well, we'll do it. And I thought, great. And so it was really good in that sense. But what I found strange, and I don't know if this is common to all publishers, but I never ever had a face-to-face chat with them or even a phone call. So it was all kind of emails. And I found I'm a portrait photographer, I'm a face-to-face person. I found that a little bit difficult. And then everything was great. Book came out. There was a couple of delays. There was a couple of kind of wee hiccups and things like that. But it's a strange one because the book sold. The pre-order sold within 5 hours, but it sold because of my network, you know, the people who support me. And when a few problems happened in this sort of, it wasn't the printing process, it was the distribution. And I think it was Amazon had were acting as a fulfillment center to deliver the ones in Britain, and about 50 of them went missing.
Oh dear.
And then some boxes turned up at the gallery and they were like torn open. The books were all bashed. The books were, and these were, all these books were numbered and they had all been sold. And so that was 50 people who are supporting me, who are close to me, that now weren't getting a book. And that was really upsetting. But that's not the publisher's fault
No.
and it's not my fault. But the communication was difficult because my name's on it, so everybody thinks, Simon, I ordered this book 6 months ago, it's still not arrived. And
Challenging.
the publisher wasn't communicating with the people who were, or so that's the messages I was getting. So that I kind of took that, I found that really difficult because those people were my friends, really. You know, even if it's in people I don't know on Instagram, I found that difficult. And so relationships between myself and the publisher are non-existent now.
There we go.
Yeah. So sorry, no, carry on.
No, carry on, but
Well, there's going to be a second edition, but I don't know anything about it. I don't know when it's out. I don't know. There's no communication anymore.
It's a shame. I suspect, as you say, things there'll always be glitches, I suppose, and it's how people deal with these things that's the reality. And as you say, communication goes a long way. As you say, you're a face-to-face portrait photographer, so you communicate with the people that you're photographing.
That's it.
But yeah.
But you know, overall, I have to emphasize that I wanted this to happen, and it happened, and I'm proud of it. And it was a beautiful thing. A couple of wee minor changes, you know, that I would make,
Yes.
but it happened, and that's amazing. And to have a book of that project is a tremendous thing. So overall, you know, despite all of that, I can let all that go. All that doesn't matter to me at all, actually.
I think it's been a really, as I've said already, it's a really, really nicely printed book as well, and I think it does the project phenomenal justice as well, which I think is, yeah, you can't be any happier than that, really. But talking of books, as I said, I'm always interested to know what my guests enjoy in terms of their own bookshelf. So it'd be great if there's maybe four or five photo books, favorites, personal favorites at the moment, current favorites, inspiring ones that you could maybe share.
Okay, so I'm prepared for this.
Everyone's always prepared for
Yeah, you
this
have to
bit.
be, because I look over at this bookshelf and there's just hundreds of books, and it's like, where do you start? And when's the last time I opened that one? And all this stuff.
That's it.
So I thought back to the first photo book that I ever bought. So this was when I was at college, and it was a book called GQ Cool, okay, by the GQ Cool, like the magazine GQ. Gentleman's Quarterly, and it was by Joe Levin, published by Pavilion Books in the year 2000. And what it was editorial portraits, so portraits of Keith Richards, David Bowie, Ewan McGregor. But what was amazing about it was, this is obviously a time before Instagram, and so it introduced me to so many photographers who were working, maybe not the most famous photographers. Some of them were, like Peter Lindbergh, Paolo Reversi. But there was photographers like David Eustace, a Scottish photographer, Terence Donovan. So there was all these photographers who were working in that field, photographing these people. I thought, wow, it's a really inspiring book. So I've still got that book, and I still look at that book, and I still think it's amazing, the portraits in it. So that's probably number one.
Good.
Even though it's not the most influential book, but at the time, well, in fact, it was, because,
It shows you the influence of it, the fact that you've still got it all these
yeah.
years later, you still look at it, you still can appreciate it for what it's done. That's the thing. Those are the influential books.
That's it. So that was number one.
Good.
So number two is Albert Watson's Cyclops,
Right.
published in 1994. So by the time I was at college, this already was a really established book. And this was the sort of fashion portrait photographer, Albert Watson, Scottish, living in New York, massive, massive photographer. So this was kind of established as one of the most important book. So everyone that I was talking to who was kind of before me in photography was telling me about Albert Watson. So I tuned into this book, and they were right. It was fantastic. Composition, the quality of the work, how bold, maybe graphical the images were. I just thought it was exceptional. And that was, at that time, huge inspiration. I think as well, you know, that I mentioned David Eustace in the GQ Cool book, and then Albert Watson. I think it was this idea of, well, here's Scottish people who are doing all these amazing jobs in different countries. And I think that too was inspirational,
At the top of their game.
that Scottish connection, showing it's possible, maybe.
Absolutely, just the inspiration.
That's it. So number three, I can't remember for sure if it's Sebastião Salgado. And it was either his book Workers or Migrations. So I've got them both. I can't remember which one I got first. But when I saw that book, again, the craft of photography is something that's important to me. Photographs done well, printed well. And I've never seen tonal ranges from negatives like Sebastião Salgado gets, you know, from his printer. Unbelievable. But then it's the subject matter, you know, so no longer is it the celebrities that maybe Albert Watson is shooting, but it's people in maybe difficult circumstances, people in states of transition, and I think this kind of planted the seed as well, that combined with me traveling, it made me think more about the everyday man and their struggles and how worthy their portraits are and their stories are.
Absolutely. Cool.
So that was number three. Number four, this is an interesting one, because this was a kind of very established book by the time I came into photography, very influential. So I'm going to mention the book, but that's not the book,
Okay.
right? So it's Richard Avedon's The American West.
Right, yep.
And the way he photographed that, quite straight on, everyday people, but from around the kind of the states in between New York and California. Very influential. But the book that I really loved was by Laura Wilson. So this was published in 2003, and it's called Avedon at Work in the American West.
All right.
So Laura Wilson was one of his assistants, and she also happened to be the mother of Luke and Owen Wilson, the actors.
All right.
Right? So, but she's got this book, and it's a kind of behind the scenes of
Of
the
him.
project in the American West.
Brilliant.
So not only do you see Avedon's work in there, some of the really strong portraits, but you hear stories that weren't in the book. There's letters from participants. There's pictures of him at work, so
Brilliant,
that
yeah.
kind of glimpse behind the scenes, I find that incredibly inspiring. And those are the books that really draw me. I love books where it's interviews with photographers, just to get a
Yes.
little insight into their mind.
Yeah,
So
how they think, how they work,
that's
and
it.
how they approach things. Yeah, it's always
Yeah.
really interesting.
So for me, yeah. So that's the kind of, I would say that's the books I read more than any, or that I'm drawn back to more.
Yeah.
More than the body of work at times,
Yeah.
the kind of the
The
insights.
stories, yep.
And so that brings us to number five. So there, I mean, that's books that I've been looking at for the last 20 years. So I thought I'm going to pick my most recent book, the last one I bought.
Yep.
And I love bookshops. See, Waterstones for me, that is a
Yeah.
place I get inspired more than
Oh,
anywhere.
you can't be a bookshop.
I go in
Sword
there and I just,
Kindles.
yeah, I come out and I'm just on fire. I
Yeah.
want to take pictures. So the last book I got there was Joel Meyerowitz. And it was the book, Question of Colour.
Okay. Yep.
So it just published in 2020, 23. And that book is really interesting, because Joel, I pronounce it Meyerowitz. It may not be pronounced that way, but this was his kind of early work. And what I love about this, it's an insight into this process. So he's a very, I would say he's more known for his colour work. But at this point in his career, he was unsure. And so he had two cameras with him. He had one loaded with black and white and one
And
loaded
one
with colour.
color.
And he would take one shot in black and white and one shot in colour. And this book brings together those pictures side by
Yeah.
side. And I think it's a really informative book. I think it's a brave book, because not all the photographs are fantastic, but it's about the process.
Yeah.
And it's, I think as photographers, none of us are the complete package.
Hello.
And that's what I love. I love honesty from photographers, and seeing that kind of, well, I don't know where I was going with this, but here it is. Here's the archive.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
so that's a tremendous book. I read it in about an hour and a half. That's the only thing. It's not it's not a long book,
No,
but
but no.
it's cool.
Yeah, five fantastic selections. Five very varied selections as well. I've certainly Sebastian has been mentioned several times, and a whole variety of his books, all for equal reasons. But for me, it's all I'm always find it really fascinating and interesting just to come across new names, new books that other people have found inspirational or give ideas to. And as you say, it's there's always opportunities to come across something new, something different in terms of how someone approaches something,
Yeah.
and what's always really interesting. But on that note, Simon really just leaves me to say thank you very much for your time. It's genuinely been an absolute pleasure chatting to you this evening about your work, your book, the exhibition, everything. Really have enjoyed it. So thank you very much.
Well, thanks for having me. That was great.
My pleasure. Cheers.
See you.